Welcome to the Interviews Podcast. Welcome, Interisti, to episode 125 of the Interviews Podcast, the official podcast of SempreInter.com. We are here for the post-match reaction of Fiorentina-Inter, which was the makeup game after what occurred last year with Bove collapsing in the 17th minute. This game was at the Stadio Artemio Franchi and started in the 17th minute. It was the game that gets us level on matches played with the rest of the league, an opportunity to tie up top with Napoli. Unfortunately, that did not occur. The hosts won the game 3-0, goals from Luca Ranieri in the 59th, Moise Kean in the 68th, and then again Moise Kean in the 89th for that 3-0 victory. We'll get into at some point during the discussion today a little bit about the game, although if there ever was a throwaway game where, you know, you just set it and forget it, this would be that game. But what we're going to do today is another State of the Union, which we've had a few times this year out of necessity. Been such a weird season. So we'll do a little State of the Union, and then we'll get into your questions and your voicemails. Thank you for everyone that left those voicemails. As always, I'm one half of your co-hosting duo, Alessandro Raffa, joined here by Gianni Paterno. Before we kick it off, I do want to say a big thank you to all the listeners. Had a tough week on a personal level. Not to get into too much detail, but a member of my fiance's family got really, really sick. We were told to say our goodbyes by the grace of God and all of your prayers. She's still here with us, you know, definitely not out of the woods, but, you know, it was good to spend that time with her. And I just, from the bottom of my heart, want to say how thankful I am, Johnny, not only to you, for, you know, checking in repeatedly, but also just to everyone that sent their prayers. It means a lot. Honestly, it gave my fiance a good laugh just to see, you know, how many people in the community were just reaching out and offering their well wishes. It means a lot to me. I really am thankful for you guys. You know, despite what we argue about on Twitter or whatever might occur with the team that we love and support, it is really nice to just see that at the end of the day, we have each other's back, no matter what we're going through. So I just wanted to say thank you for that. Gianni, we're recording, you know, 24 hours out from what was our worst loss of the season, by far, just from a performance standout. So how do you feel right now? Still very emotional after watching our team get completely asphalted, or have you settled down a little bit and had some time to really think about what you want to address here on this episode?
Yeah, I think I've had some time to settle down and apologize for my voice. It's allergies are really bad out here in Vegas. Something with the dust is it's killing me, and I sound really really weird, like I'm a smoker all of a sudden. So yeah, I think being able to kind of calm my nerves, settle down a little bit, not be as angry as I was yesterday, I guess would be the way to put it. Yeah, I'm a little better now to be able to talk about it.
Yeah, it's definitely, I'm glad that we're doing it today as opposed to yesterday, because it would just end up being a angry dump as opposed to what I think is some time that we've had to really just think about what's going on and address the elephants in the room, because there are several. So for everyone that's been saying like these Inter performances have been terrible, the shoe's going to drop, you know, you were right. This was a really important game, and we just did not show up.
So for all the people that had a lot of concerns, obviously I was on the other end there, and
you know, I'll give some of my thoughts on where this can go in the future, you know, towards the end of the episode. But you guys were valid to have those concerns. They played out the way that they did, and we can go ahead and just get into all of that. I also, some of it is a little weird to me. It does feel like there are some people that have been shitting on Inter for a while now and are almost happy. It's like, it's that thing where you have an agenda and then it comes true and you're, you know, happy to celebrate it on social media. It makes me feel a little gross because it is the team that we're supposed to love and support. And I guess congratulations on it coming through. But yeah,
anyway.
All right. So what I wanted to do here was talk about each level of the club, because I think every single level of the club has their share of blame for why we are here today. So let's start at the very top, which is Oaktree. What do we have to throw on Oaktree? What role did Oaktree play in the loss that occurred and what's occurred this season? For me, when you have a club that is competing for titles, when you have a club whose management and whose coach, every opportunity they're asked, they mention how they want to compete for titles. When you go into a transfer window with clear, clear deficiencies, and you're unwilling to make any sort of investment, to cover up some of those deficiencies, I think that is a huge problem. I think that you're showing more care about a balance sheet than competitiveness on the pitch. And the stark reality is that the sporting project comes before everything else. You don't have anything if you're saying you're competing for titles and then just sort of laying down. So that's my beef with Oaktree. That's where I think they take blame. Where are you at with it?
Yeah, I agree 100%. We knew that backup striker was going to be an issue. We knew center back was going to be an issue. And although I am still hopeful with Palacios and wish that he would have been given an opportunity at Inter, I think that, you know, learning behind De Vrij alongside, you know, Bastoni, Acerbi, I think it would have been very beneficial for his growth and maturity. You know, I understand the people who think, you know, we need somebody ready to step in right away. But you also, for me personally, I'm not going to speak for everybody else, but, you know, I also want people that could be long-term solutions, not just plug and play for a year or two, kind of like what we've had with Acerbi. Yeah, he's been great for two seasons, but now it's, you know, where is he? You know, he's hurt. He comes back. He's, you know, there's rumors he's going to start this game. I'm glad he didn't. I think he would have been cooked even more than the guys were. And, you know, you see clubs like Roma, even though they spent poorly and a lot of their players haven't, at least they spent, you know, in to some degree. And there's signings that I do like. You know, I do think Matias Suole could still turn good. I do think that Dovbik can still be a solid striker. You know, that they made some good investments. Some people, you know, obviously Enzo Lefebvre left. I thought it was a good signing. And I just think that he wasn't utilized in the right manner. And I think, excuse me, had he been, had he had a manager who would have been, you know, more able to unlock his potential and see what he's able to offer, you know, who knows the kind of player they could have had on their hands there. We spent our money on what? Palacios, you know, Josep Martinez. And that was really it, you know, in terms of investment. You know, I'm great that we locked up Sucic, like that's done for the summer, but that doesn't help us now. That doesn't give us any solution now to our problems. You know, Hakan gets hurt, we don't have any help now. You know, Aslani struggles to fill that role. So it is a bit of an indictment on Oaktree. And I don't think that as long as they're owners, we're really going to see any actual investment in the club where it can lead to points on the pitch. Like that's really what it comes down to. I'm not of the mindset like some Interisti, like the title's over, but I'm also worried because Hakan hasn't looked himself. I know he's coming back from injury, but he doesn't look good. And your only really option at replacing him is even worse. So Oaktree has, for lack of a better term, blood on their hands for if we don't win this Scudetto, along with other people that I'm sure we'll get into. But
yeah,
they're number one on my hit list, I guess.
Yeah, I think it's incredibly short-sighted thinking of them because let's say, again, the balance sheet is all you care about and propping up the club for a sale is all you care about. The financial windfall of actually coming through on your competitive commitments is much greater than it is when you fall short. So like, you know, a $10 million investment in some sort of striker, or there were a couple striker options, and we'll get into this when we talk about management. There were a couple striker options on the market that could have been ours if certain things went our way. That would have been well worth the investment because of what it allows you to do from a competitive standpoint. You have gotten like less than 5 goals from your 3, 4, 5 depth pieces at striker. You needed to do something there. Like we can talk about Hakan and Aslani and so forth, but you really needed to do something in attack and to not even make an attempt and to push it off until the summer. Yeah, you did lock up a transfer that's coming in for the summer in Sucic. You probably make it because you're absolutely positive you're going to be ridding yourself of Fratesi, but it's just short-sighted to me. You have an opportunity to really compete for titles. Like, make the investment. Put your team in the best position to actually secure those financial windfalls that come from winning a Scudetto, that come from getting far in the Champions League. It's just not really like it's not really how I think investing should work, and that's my problem with Oaktree. My problem with management, why they have to take a significant amount of the blame here. Inzaghi threw on at some point on the pitch yesterday Lautaro, Thuram, Taremi, and Arnautovic, all 4 in the striking department, were on the pitch. You didn't feel like any of them were going to come close to scoring. You had reports of Arnautovic refusing moves, Correa refusing moves, moves that you're in that position because of the mistakes that you've made as management. It shouldn't have been we'll see if we can move them, and then we'll try to, you know, we'll bring in someone if we're able to move. It should have been 100% on you to say, we made mistakes. There's no way we're coming out of January continuing to have these mistakes on our pit, on our team, continuing to hurt us. There's no way that I'm going to give Inzaghi, after years of being competitive with essentially no investment, there's no way that I'm going to have him go into these final months of the season where it's not like last year. It's as competitive as possible in Serie A. With the team that's playing once a week, there's no way that I'm going to let the mistakes that we've made hamper the team on the pitch. There should have been no scenario where Arnautovic or Correa weren't moved if there was some interest. You go to the player and you say, listen, you're going to be deregistered from Serie A and you're going to be deregistered from the Champions League. I understand, you know, you might have some good vibes in the locker room around those guys, but good vibes aren't what wins you titles. I'm also really upset with Marotta this week for 2 reasons. One, if you get asked, hey, are you going to make some investments this summer? Just say something like, we'll see. Don't say, oh, if we have the money. It's been years. It's been years of this where you know that the club is laughed at for the financial situation. Stop saying shit like this with a smile on your face. Not only if there's money, as you smile. Like, enough. enough. It's embarrassing for the club. Come up with a different line. Even if that is the case, come up with a different line. Say something. Don't even respond. Stop with the feeding into the joke about our finances. It's super frustrating and annoying as a fan to watch. Enough of that. And the second thing that I'm really annoyed with is after the, what was our match right before Fiorentina? I'm blanking. Milan. After the derby, when Inzaghi is saying this is absolutely a penalty, something needs to be done. We were robbed against Lecce as well with a penalty. This has been, you know, several incidents against Bologna, several incidents that nothing has occurred. We really need to do something about it. He comes out with a strong statement defending the club. And then Marotta is asked about it. And he said, yeah, we've seen, but we don't want to create any controversy. There's no controversy. That was fucking weak. That was fucking weak. Where if you watch, I watched Domenica Sportiva, I watched Mediaset pressing. The Inter is constantly shit on. And there's no dancing around the fact that we've been fucked on several, you know, VAR situations the last several weeks. Make a strong statement. I don't care about your relationship with the FIGC and whatever it is. Like, defend the club. You're the president that everyone is fucking stoked to have you as the president. Unable to resolve the Arnautovic and Correa situation in the winter, to me, is a big fat zero. Is a big fat zero. Continuing to make these jokes about money, big fat zero. Not defending the club when we've clearly been fucked from a refereeing standpoint is a big fat zero. And you have, you know, people like Huyan saying, you know, Beppe sucks and all this shit. And I've had to defend this management on Twitter, but I'm at the end of it with this. You guys have put us in a really good position with shitty circumstances. But recently, it's been a lot of swings and misses. It's been a lot of swings and misses at defending the club and about making a competitive product on the pitch. That's my rant on the management.
Well, I mean, how do I follow that up? You know, I feel like you covered most Interisti's feelings with that rant, and you know, I would 100% agree with you. It is annoying when, like you said, your manager saying one thing and your management doesn't back him in that. You know, and it kind of makes you worry that because there is, like you said, like there is no pressure on the refereeing association, that they'll just feel like, hey, we can go ahead and continue to screw them in meaningful games. Like, you had 2 points. I feel a lot better about this loss to Fiorentina, right? We were only been 1 point behind Napoli as opposed to the 3 that we are. You know, and that's not saying that we would have guaranteed to score the penalty. Who knows? Maybe Lautaro shoots it right at Maignan, and it's because I don't remember when that foul was committed, if Hakan was still on the pitch or not.
I don't think he was.
But I mean, unless you let Zielinski take, I don't know. Whatever. Irregardless, it's, you know, you have that. Obviously, the Lecce game does not burn us, but another opportunity or another call that doesn't go for us that should have been a penalty. And it's a worrying trend. And, you know, I know you're tired of it. I'm tired of it. You know, average Joe, everybody's tired of seeing Marotta League. Whereas what has it been our league? And why aren't we sticking? We are Inter. We're not Monza. We're not Como. We're not Hellas. You know, we are Inter, and we should be, not saying that we should be demanding superior treatment or anything like that, but we should be getting some kind of treatment that's not, you know, scoping against us every single time. I don't understand it. The whole being okay with, oh, if we have money, guys, stop. If anything, you should be putting pressure on ownership to provide money. And I'm not asking you to spend like we're Man City, spend like we're PSG, or even Juve, who, you know, went crazy this summer, 30, 40 million. That's it. Just to be able to buy 1, 2 players. It doesn't even have to be every window. I'd like to just be able to refresh one new guy every summer. And if we sell, that money's able to go to another player, right? You know, Fratesi leaves, it goes to Paz. We have $30 million to maybe spend on Ricci and we can work something out where Alzani goes that way, whatever, and then I'm okay. But again, it's going to be another summer where we're frustrated, where we don't get things to go our way, where, you know, we're just staying status quo and being okay with it in terms of reinforcements. All these teams, Napoli, Milan, Juve, Lazio, Roma, are able to go out and refresh their squad. Some of it works, some of it doesn't. You can look at Cup Miners being a huge flop at Juve, but they're reinvesting and refreshing their squad. It's not working. And even if it is working, we still need to refresh. We are okay riding the same core into the ground. As much as I love Bastoni, Barella, Lautaro, Di Marco, Hakan, these guys are just tired. They're tired. And they're not doing 10 out of 10 performances every game because they're not being refreshed, because the guys who are filling in behind them are not good enough to be everyday starters. We saw what happened with Fratesi in the midfield. We saw what happened with Bisek. You know, those two goals are directly involved with two guys who don't, I mean, I guess Bisek has been a regular starter because Pavard has been out, but they weren't great, to say the least. And it's because we aren't refreshing and rejuvenating the squad with the right players who can have an impact at a club like Inter. And, you know, I think I'm just kind of numb to it because it's just going to, I know it's going to happen. I know what is coming down the pipeline and there's no reason for me to get all worked up about it because nothing's going to change until we get new ownership that's actually okay spending money. Like, imagine if we had the Friedkins. We would have spent maybe $100 million players that could have been helping us now. Not players for the future, as much as I like, again, Palacios and Sučić, they're not here. They're not doing anything. So, Go ahead.
I think Milan has some of the worst management and ownership in Serie A. But look at the difference between the two clubs here. Milan made some significant errors this summer with the hiring of Fonseca, with the purchase of Emerson Royal, with bringing in Alvaro Morata. And they are so far away from the windfall of getting into a Champions League spot. Yet in January, they cleared those issues out and brought in some new players. Kyle Walker is old, but you see that he's a clear improvement over what they had at right back. Get rid of Calabria and Emerson Royal and bring in this guy. Bondo's coming in for Benacer. Joao Felix comes in for Joao Felix joins the team and Morata is shipped off and Jimenez is brought in. And they invested and they're so far away from Champions League still. But they are fighting for it. Inter's management are comfortable to sit and rest on their laurels because if it's top four, it's top four, we're still competitive. If it's a knockout at some point during the Champions League, you know, we're still competitive. We made some significant money there. And there's just not a will to rectify mistakes that even the worst management and the worst ownership in Serie A can show that will to try to turn things around. All right, let's shift to Inzaghi. I led off with my thoughts on Oak Tree and management. Why don't I kick it over to you to lead off with why Inzaghi should take some blame for not just Fiorentina, but performances this year.
It's seeming for large portions of the season, he's unable to get the squad to play at the top level week in and week out. Anyone who watches this club will say the same thing. And they'll let you, you know, they'll obviously they go off about it on Twitter constantly. So it's frustrating, right? We have the last two, you know, I can't really blame him for the result against Milan. I, you know, a lot of things didn't go our way. And hitting the post three times is not his fault. Being offside is not his fault. You know, You could blame him for the goal that Milan scored because anyone with half a brain knew what Conceição's plan was: to sit back, absorb pressure, hit on the counter, and try to get them, you know, numbers, you know, in their favor. And that's how they got their goal. That is, you know, a preparation thing. I think that he didn't have them ready for that, which is shocking with the amount of times that we've already played Conceição, and that this has been his MO since day one. It worked for us in the Supercoppa final, and then, you know, again, we fell asleep. Instead of just defending a 2-0 lead, which I would have been fine with, really, if we just played straight up, park the bus, who cares, you know, boot and chase the rest of the game, we probably win that. But again, we continued to go for it when there was really no need to, and we allowed them to hit us three times in a row, and that's embarrassing. This game against Fiorentina, lineup was wrong, substitutions were poor, timing of them was horrendous. You can't expect to go down 2-0 and then expect your subs, who have probably who should have started that game, to be quite honest, to come in and have an immediate impact, or even any kind of impact for that matter. And I was really more so concerned with the reaction after the Di Marco turnover that led to the Moise Kean third goal. Everyone was switched off. There was no fight in that team. And that's a concerning thing when you see that, when they've just completely accepted defeat, they've turned themselves off. There was no effort from anyone involved in that play. And that, I don't know if that's just a mentality thing for that game. I don't know if that was just fatigue. But regardless, I would have rather seen someone run themselves into the ground, leave it all on the pitch, take out Moise Kean for all I care, instead of watching them stand around and allow him to just waltz in and score that third goal. I think I liked the reaction from Inzaghi post-Milan. I did not like the lack of ruthlessness to the squad with the way things were going. I think at some point you needed to look at that team and see Fratesi has not had any impact. You're off. I don't care if you just played 30 minutes of the first half because we started, you know, with 15, 17 minutes, whatever it was. You're off. Not good enough. You have to have a little bit of Antonio Conte, Jose Mourinho in you, where you just don't care. You know, I understand you want to have a relationship with the players and be the people's coach, whatever. But you also have to demand excellence from your players and demand a level of pride, you know, that even if we're losing, I'm doing everything I can to help us win. And I felt like a few of the guys did not have that in that match, Fratesi being one of them. For all the good things that Denzel Dumfries has done, I thought that was a very poor match from him. Di Marco was horrendous, in my opinion, as well. You know, Mkhitaryan and Hakan were... That whole five, you could say midfield five, was not good enough. And if it were up to me, all five of them would have come off for, like, immediately at halftime for new people. You know, Augusto, Darmian, and you know, swapping out all the midfield in that instant. Even bringing on Aslani, who I wasn't, you know, thrilled with. I thought he played poorly as well. I think you have to send a message to your players, and I think that, you know, he's too nice. And something that I forgot who said it, and if you listen to this, and I'm sorry I don't give you credit, but I do agree with, I think a lot of times our team plays without aggressiveness because they're afraid that if they get a yellow, they're going to come off instead of continuing the match. And I think that takes out a little bit of effort. Like, the Milan game was what they were referring to, which I 100% agree. I think that they were more concerned with not fouling leading up to that goal because they didn't want to get a yellow than actually stopping that goal. So I think that's something that needs to be changed. And you would have hoped, with the amount of years that Inzaghi now has under his belt as a manager, that he would have been able to come to grips with. But, you know, it's a frustrating thing. I'm not calling for his job, but I do want some growth and some things to change. You can't just keep doing the same things and expect the same different results. Yeah.
That was the perfect statement
for you to end on, because that's my biggest gripe with Inzaghi. I don't want him fired. He's obviously an incredible coach, but there's two things that really, really irk me with him where I think he takes the blame here. First, just as far as the Fiorentina game is concerned, like, let's just refer to those substitutions. Like, this was a 75-minute game, if that, less than that. Like, you got to play it like it is. You don't have to wait till the 65th minute to make your subs. Like, things were going poorly. You don't have to be 2-0 down to make your subs. Like, understand the importance of the game. Don't worry about feelings, like you said earlier with the buddy-buddy. Like, let's get into it a little bit. Let's change the team and let's get after it. This second thing is really what I think we need from Inzaghi. Antonio Conte started, he's often thought of as a system coach, but he started with body 4-2-4. He played 3-4-3 with Chelsea, 3-5-2 with Inter, Napoli 4-3-3, 4-2-3-1 at points. He is thought of as a system coach, but he really is. He wants players that fit the way that he wants to play. But if he's unable to do so, excuses out the window. Let me get this team into a shape that makes sense for the personnel. The 3-5-2, it's been so consistent and it's been so good, but there are times where it can get stale. And there are times where I think as a manager, like, you need to try to find different solutions and switch things up. You can play with a one striker off instead of you know, the two strikers up top. You can switch the configuration in the midfield. You can try a back four. It's not this football is not so much positional anymore. It's more a grouping and how you're playing in transition with the ball when you don't have the ball and so forth. For this team to have no solution other than when I have to change or make a sub, I'm going to bring on a player that's going to be in the same position, albeit with different characteristics. Teams can figure that out over time. The lack of tactical flexibility from Inzaghi is really annoying. And I understand he changed from having a much higher line to having a deeper line and stuff like that, but I'm talking about positional flexibility. I'm talking about playing Fratesi off of a lone striker. Or playing with three strikers where maybe Taremi comes deeper to help facilitate the ball and play off of Lautaro and Thuram. Different solutions with the players that you have. The lack of any sort of the unwillingness to change off of, we play 3-5-2. The only things that we're going to change are, you know, the players switching in and out. And I don't want to hear anyone say, oh, but they threw on four attackers at the end. That's not the kind of tactical flexibility I'm talking about. That's not tactical flexibility. That's throwing shit at a wall. That's putting as many strikers up top and hoping for the best. That's crossing inshallah. That's not the flexibility that we need to see. We need different solutions sometimes. Or else you're a system coach. And system coaches get figured out. The next generation comes up, they study how you play, and they figure you out. The players cycle through the same solutions, and if the other team has mapped those solutions out, they got nothing else for you. And that's what we were seeing towards the end of that match. It was just like hoofing the ball into the box. He needs to take responsibility for the team. If management failed him and didn't provide him with different attacking options or didn't provide him with different options, then change the configuration of the team. These players have different strengths. Try something new. That's my rant on Inzaghi. You mentioned some of these players here. A lot of them did not come to play. I thought Bissek had a horrible game.
the worst game he's had in an Inter shirt. There was a Grinta issue with him. There was a, it was like not hard enough. Fratesi, that was embarrassing. That was embarrassing. And maybe it wasn't you that wanted out. Maybe it was your manager. But that was an embarrassing display if you're getting more minutes. Çalhanoğlu, I know you're coming back from injury, but my God, like the giveaways in midfield that lead to goals, you got to clean that up. We're not in that spot where we can make mistakes. It's not September anymore, my guy. It's February. You can't make those mistakes in the midfield. Thuram missing. Like you said, DiMarco, that pass for Barella, you came on with nothing. And you haven't done shit in weeks. My biggest gripe with the players right now, where they need to take blame, is we've talked about the performances and the results, and I fully take responsibility for saying, you know, the results are there, this team is winning ugly. You know, that's a sign of a good team. Now, with the position that we're in, it's time to show some ruthlessness. You can't, if you feel you're the better team every time you step onto the pitch, that shouldn't give you the feeling of, I don't need to perform my best because we'll find a way to pull it out. And that I'll speak about why I think things are going to change in the future. But the lack of ruthlessness, you need to step onto the pitch if you're the better team, and you need to run over your opponent. And we haven't seen that. Maybe the Monaco game was beautiful, but they were down a man. I'm seeing a lack of intensity and ruthlessness from the players.
100%. It's almost like a level of complacency. Like everyone is okay with where they're at, their role and position with the squad. It's frustrating, you know. And I tweeted, you know, I was upset with people the way that they were flipping out over the Milan game. Well, I'm just as pissed now, you know, with the Fiorentina game. So I better see a bounce back on Monday. And I don't want just, you know, a 1-0 win. No. I want a throttling. You need to respond. Do you care about this title race, or are you just going to let Napoli take it? Because that's, you need to look at yourself in the mirror and be like, was last season then just a fluke? That level of dominance that they had throughout the entire season, that we literally ran away with the, like, it wasn't even a challenge. And now you're just like, we got our second star. That's fine. We got to the next round, the round of 16 in Champions League. That's fine. Like, what do you want? What kind of legacy do you want to leave at this club? I need to see some kind of response. I know it's only 4 losses on the season, which in the grand scheme of things is fantastic. But it's the manner in which you lose that is the frustrating thing. You know, 3 of those in the last minute that probably should have all been draws at the very least. This one was an absolute embarrassment. And it's like, are you okay with that? Is that what you want to, how you want to play and how you want to be? I don't know. And like I said, I want to see some type of response from the guys. And Monday, it's right around the corner. So I don't care about the Super Bowl this weekend. I'm not interested in it. I care about what we do on Monday. That is my Super Bowl, and that is what, you know, I might just take the day off. No, I'm kidding. But, you know, that is what I really care about. And, you know, hopefully Lazio can do us a favor this weekend and keep it at 3 points, even at 4, you know, the worst. And let's go, you know, show that we are still in this title race and not just rolling over here.
Yeah. Last thing I'll say as far as blame on the players. Start of the season, Thuram, DiMarco. Now you've gone cold. Dumfries, Lautaro. You guys need to find a way for everyone to be hitting on all cylinders at the same time. You are the best that the club has. Taremi and Arnautovic and Correa are not coming to save us. You guys need to start hitting stride together at the same time. Take that responsibility. Bisek, listen, dude, this is not the Danish division. Like, people got high on you, well-deserved, but that type of shit can never happen again. Can never happen again. Fratesi, your name was in the papers for 4 fucking weeks, and it was all about playtime. You're behind one of the best players in the world. You get an opportunity, you got to show what you have. You guys need to be in sync at the same time and show the kind of ruthlessness that we're used to seeing.
All right, before we get into questions and speak pipes, which we have several, I think we should talk about outlook for the rest of the season. Because while we do have a lot of criticism that's well-deserved coming from a lot of Interisti, and you know, you can't argue with a lot of the points that they're making. It is February 7th today. There are 15 games left in Serie A. There's an entire Champions League knockout campaign ahead of us. There is the Coppa Italia ahead of us. So a lot of people saying they're out. I'm not seeing a lot of people saying they're in. Where are you with at this point in the season, assessing the team, assessing all these things that we just went through? What is your confidence level or expectation for what Inter can do for the rest of the season?
I mean, that's a great question. Right now, I think because I'm a little emotional, I would say my confidence level is a little bit low. I think if I really sat down and looked at things and maybe really mapped out the rest of our season and looked at, you know, how it's going to be in the league, what games we have left, you know, all I know is we need to beat Napoli in the head-to-head on the return leg, and then I would feel pretty good. But I think we have this. Listen, we were on cruise control in the Champions League. I don't think that there was any effort really shown in that. You could even, you know, even the Monaco game was cruise control. So I mean, I'm hoping that when we get to that round of 16 stage, we can finally turn it up a notch and really show the rest of Europe what we're capable of. I, you know, it's funny. I liked the way Micah and Jamie propped us up, but then I feel like that's now put a little bit of pressure on us to perform to the best of our ability. And if we go out in the round of 16, they'll say, "Ha, see, Farmers League." And that's the last thing I want. You know, I would ideally want a semifinal appearance at minimum. But we'll see. We'll see there. I think we'll still be in the title race to the very end. I'm not like Nima where I'm marking match day 35 as the day that Napoli win it. I really think it's going to come down to the last day. Now, whether I feel we're going to win it, I'll probably put my confidence at like 60% right now. And again, I think that's because of my frustration with the way the squad is right now, more so than anything. You know, I mean, Napoli didn't replace Cavara, right? I don't see them performing at a high level the rest of the season. There's going to be stinkers in there. There's going to be matches that don't make sense why they drop points. Now, what matters is, do we capitalize on that? That's what's going to be, you know, the telling thing. I don't want us to be scoreboard watching, but I do want us to be focused or you know, conscious of what's going on and what we like. I feel like that's got to put a little sense of urgency in the boys. So I don't really care about Coppa Italia. Lazio can beat us for all I care. I really don't. I mean, I maybe want to go far just so Jose Martinez gets some more appearances. That's probably the only thing that I really care about with that, truthfully. Otherwise, focus in the league, try to get that 21st star, and try to get at least a semifinal appearance in the Champions League. And I would put my confidence level in both. Yeah, I guess it's 60% that we can do that.
So here's the thing. 2 points that I want to make here for everyone that feels like the ceiling is falling.
the first, if the roles were reversed and Inter was 3 points ahead of Napoli, tied on matches played, nobody would be saying Napoli is out of the title race. Nobody. 3 points is not an immeasurable deficit, especially when there's still a head-to-head coming up. I understand the commitments they have versus the commitments that we have, but no one should be saying this is over. Not if you love this team, not if you believe in the talent that's on this squad, not if you're a team member on that squad. If anything, the 3 points behind, if you had a hunger issue throughout the whole season, that's the sort of thing that kicks you into gear. And that brings me to my second point. The performances haven't been good. The results have been there. Now you have a bad performance that led to a bad result. Guess what? Sometimes you need to get kicked in the fucking teeth to wake up. I'm glad we got hurt this bad because we needed it. Some of these players needed it. Inzaghi needed it. Management needed it. Oakley needed it. Everybody needed this. Everybody needed this moment that Nima has talked about of like, it's going to come back to bite you. Well, guess what? It bit you in a big spot. Now it's time to respond. And I'm with you, Johnny. Not 1-0, not 2-1. Fiorentina's coming to the San Siro. You lay him out. You lay him out 3-4-0. You kill it right then and there. You say to Napoli, we fucked up, but now we're fucking awake. Now we're awake. Everyone needs a kick in the ass sometimes. That cruise control that we had last year, now we're in a dogfight and we're going to find out what this team is made of. I'm not out on this team whatsoever. A terrible performance like that where it really hurts you, it's bound to happen, you know, once, twice, three times a season. Obviously, you don't want it to happen often because it's not really going to help you achieve your goals. But in this sense, if the problem with this team is that maybe we're not hungry enough or maybe we're not showing the grinta that we need to show, getting embarrassed the way they got embarrassed, Ken scoring that 89th minute goal on a back pass by DiMarco where it's like everyone falls asleep. You sit on that plane home, that train home, whatever they took. And that sits with you. And that is the sort of thing that can get you going. Okay? Call me FC Positivity, self-proclaimed FC Positivity. We just spent 45 minutes shitting on this team. Guess what? You wouldn't be counting Napoli out if there were 3 points down. And as an Inter fan, I'm not counting us out. Getting punched in the mouth is good sometimes. Maybe it's exactly what we need. Maybe it's exactly what we need. Okay? So let's fucking go. Let's fucking go. Like Johnny said, smoke them when they come to the San Siro. Smoke them. Okay. All right. Let's get into your questions. So obviously, some of these are not going to be super relevant because they came in earlier in the game, but let me try to go through the ones that are. At Lee Theo, are you worried about Thuram's goal-scoring form is off fit? What do you think is going on there?
I don't know what's going on there. Yeah, I would say I'm a little worried. You know, it's not ideal to see him unable to find the back of the net. You know, you want him to be able to perform and come good. Like I said, I mean, and you said it as well. It's frustrating when one striker's hot, the other one's cold. It's like they just can't be on the same page at the same time. Is that not possible? Super, super annoying on that front. But we'll see. You know, we'll see if they're able to come good. Normally, after like February is when everything kind of starts clicking again. I'm not saying I want to wait that long, but I feel like, and listen, it could be wrong. I don't know if Marcus likes the cold, and maybe that's something that kind of plays into it. And I'm not saying that in a joking way. I mean, some players just don't perform well in cold weather. They, you know, yeah. it just could be a thing, you know. And listen, it could just be something I'm making up right now, but it's not entirely out of the realm. That's all.
He's had his opportunities to score against Milan multiple times.
Yeah, he has.
Like he's had his opportunities to score. So for me, it's just a matter of like maybe Lautaro has picked up the slack a little bit and he took his foot off the gas, but time for doing so is over. At M6 Adam _, is Fratesi the worst midfielder we've seen at Inter in the last 5 years?
No, Aslani is.
Yeah, I would say Aslani is definitely up there.
And
I'd rather have Fratesi as bad as he is, that like sometimes as bad as he's been.
I would take him over Gag. Like for me, it'd be Aslani, Gagliardini would be the first two guys I think of.
Yeah. Peter Jordan, how do we bounce back? Do we focus on cups or just brush it off and focus game to game and pray for help in the league? I mean, the performance against Fiorentina or the result against Fiorentina doesn't change anything as far as like what we need to compete for. If you're saying the league is gone by being 3 points back and you and your opponent both have 15 matches, like you don't have you've watched this sport before, right? Like things happen for either team could happen. In no way, shape, or form should we be taking our eyes off of the Scudetto and just going for the cups. And I could give fuck all about the Coppa Italia. I don't fucking care about that cup. Even if it means that we end with zero cups and we fail in both the league and the Champions League, I'd rather us give everything we have to the premier competitions than try to sneak in a Coppa Italia and try to pass it off like a successful season because we added to the trophy cabinet.
Agreed. No, like let's look at it as we're not out of any competition. Like there's no reason to just punt one. I mean, except for the Coppa Italia. Like we can just go all in on both the Champions League and the league. I think that to automatically just crown Napoli winners because they have Antonio Conte in one match a week is ridiculous. And I think it's also, you know, for all we as fans say about Serie A and how competitive it is, to be that disrespectful to the rest of the teams and just think that like, they're going to roll over and let Napoli win it because they don't, you know, they have nothing to play for. Some of these teams are in a relegation battle. Their last, I think three of their last four opponents are teams ranked 16th to 20th. You think it's going to be like, oh, Napoli beat us, you know, we're already relegated or we're close to being relegated. Who cares? No, they have an opportunity to save their jobs and their, you know, livelihoods in Serie A. Why would they just roll over and let it happen? They still have games against Juve. They still have games against Napoli. I mean, sorry, against Milan, Lazio, us. Anything could still happen in the league. And Champions League is you know, it's just going to be really the luck of the draw for us. You know, we were able to get to a final because we had the easiest route there. And who knows, maybe that can happen again this time. You know, if either way, we're getting Juve or Milan in the round of 16. Pray for Juve. Yeah,
there are like, next several fixtures at least. Like Udinese hasn't shown that they can surprise teams. Lazio, they haven't played well against Lazio this year. Como played Milan and Juventus off the pitch recently. They didn't get away with the result, but you know who knows what can happen there. Inter, we're playing them. We still have a game against them. Fiorentina, they you saw what they did to us. You still got Milan. Milan looks refreshed here with these new signings. So there's no scenario where anyone should be throwing away the league, even if you have supreme confidence in Conte moving forward and Inter are shit and all this stuff. As a fan of the team, I'm not backing down off of what we're going for at all. At Mr. Mike Gurrieri, what tactics would you like to see change to make us more creative going forward?
Ooh.
I'm interested
If you say mine, I'll kill you. Go ahead.
Maybe you should go first, actually.
No, go.
I'm interested in the same formation, essentially, but a switch in the midfield configuration where you would play with a flat four across where it's DiMarco and then either Calhanoglu with Zielinski or Calhanoglu with Barella and Dumfries on the right, and then a player behind the strikers to facilitate, whether that be Barella or Zielinski. Either one of those, I don't know who exactly is better to play in that pivot, but I would like to see someone stick behind the strikers and play with a different midfield setup.
Yeah, I hate you, because that's what I was going to say.
I tried to.
For me, it would have been Zielinski. I would rather him be back there, sitting behind the two strikers. That way, let's say, you want to bring a sub, you could bring Taremi to sit behind there. I think that he would be okay in that role too, if you want to throw on an extra striker at some point. But I think that's where Zielinski could be, truly effective, being able to play balls through the channels and find the guys, and runs behind the defense, and hopefully be able to get some quick goals that way. And then also when you're crossing, as wingbacks, you're able to, have kind of an outlet at the top of the box, who can maybe, be delivered to, or if the ball bounces, around the 18 after, a cross in, Zielinski could strike it clean, for whatever reason, or, for all and be able to score. So, yeah, I would agree that would be a nice way to go up, about it, bringing that little change in instead of just having the, Regista sitting behind the two mezzalas and kind of roaming free. That may take away a little bit of some coverage, but I also think you have the center backs who are able to kind of handle that. And it doesn't mean that Hakan can't drop back and kind of pick up and then, carry the ball further or even just boot it up the pitch like he has and find guys on darting runs. So, yeah, I agree with your assessment there.
At Pedro Ro 99794444, how many titles do you think Inter are winning this season, and how much confidence do you have in the striker department, Arnautovic, Taremi, and Correa? Titles, I'll still go over 0.5. Let's say that. That we bring home something. And you can call me naive, whatever. I need to have something to root for and to fight for, and I believe in the team.
Preach, brother, preach.
Confidence in the striker department, I mean, zero. That Arnautovic attempt late in that game was so pathetic, and I've defended the guys on so many occasions, but like so mind-numbing where you can't do anything. It's just BS. Taremi, I've completely lost confidence in. Correa, I don't know what to say.
I'm of the mindset where you punt those two at the end of the season and just let both Esposito brothers come back. Even though I'm not the biggest Sebastiano fan, it's better than what we got.
It's absolutely better than what we have. Yeah.
Both of them. Like, Pio's been phenomenal in Serie B. Like, you're worried about spending money? Well, you have two in-house opportunities right there. Actually, I think we did sell Sebastiano and we'd have to buy him back.
Sebastiano is tougher.
Mm-hmm. But at least you have Pio.
Oh. Your mic cut out there first.
There we go. Sorry, yep. I must have hit mute by accident. But at least bring back Pio. I'd be more than okay with him being the fourth option, behind Taremi if he stays or whatever. And then you figure out a fifth guy, whether it's a cheap player, whatever it is, or you bring up an academy kid. They can't be worse. That's where I'm at. They can't be worse than what we have.
Yeah. At LPRISC, two games versus deep lying 4-4-2 setups, and Inter have looked stifled for long periods in both. What is it about this formation that matches up so well against Inzaghi, and one needs to change it to combat next time? So I think what we both said about the midfield configuration would combat that, because a deep lying 4-4-2, the two center backs on the defensive end pick up our two strikers, the two midfielders pick up our two mezzala, and if you have, and Hakan is picked up by one of the strikers, if not both. So if you're just completely stifling the middle of the team, then you're relying on Bastoni or Bisek or Di Marco and Dumfries to do something. And if those players are off form or not contributing, you get stifled. Exactly what we saw. You can break that by playing with an advanced midfielder, so the two center backs can still pick up the strikers, but now those two midfielders, someone has to drop deep, allowing whoever is playing in that double pivot to step up into it. You just have to, it's zonal, it's positioning, and it's exactly what is missing from Inzaghi's setups. That's my opinion.
Yeah, when they're playing deep like that, they want to force you to go out wide. They want you to have to just cross balls in, and they don't want you to be able to break them down through the middle of the park. If you have that attacking midfielder in the middle there sitting behind the strikers, it gives them something more to draw them in and allow other guys to get loose. So it's like I just don't get why Inzaghi is so stubborn to just keep trying the same things like we've said. I don't know. I'm hoping that he recognizes this at some point. You would think somebody would say something to just try it. Even if it doesn't work, at least you tried it. You know, like, I mean, if those things, the same things aren't playing out the way that you want, give something new a shot, for crying out loud. I don't understand.
Yeah, it's a stubbornness that doesn't suit us. At Gabriel with a couple numbers in there, S_. Is Inzaghi smart for starting Hakan 2 games in a row when he isn't fully fit? I mean, in hindsight, it doesn't look great. Is he smart for not starting Barella in such an important game? In hindsight, that doesn't look great either. Is he smart for not
even hindsight? Until the 70th? Even to start, it was not smart. You know, yeah. You needed 3 points. Start your best player, especially in a shortened game. Like, it's not like he was going to play a full 90.
Yeah. Alex Miratti, does the match show Inter's biggest weakness? One misplaced pass or getting dispossessed, and then Inter gets exposed on the counter. It has shades of Milan Bologna in this match. We're terrible in the defensive transition when we lose the ball up high. I don't know exactly how to combat it, but we are terrible. Speed. When we're moving backwards, it looks bad. It looks really bad. We look really timid, and every time a team comes at us, like, they look like they're about to score. They look like they're about to score. I don't really know what the solution is there if you're going to be playing up high like that. But it is a weakness of this team. Martin Russell, I've been a defender of Fratesi all season, but he was exceptionally poor tonight and looked disinterested. Should we get rid in the summer? 1,000%.
Yeah.
1,000%. Is Inzaghi losing control of the locker room? Uncle George, is Inzaghi losing control of the locker room? What do you even say to a squad after a loss like this? What do you think?
That's it. I don't think he's losing control of the locker room. I don't know where you're landing on this. I do think that maybe his voice is getting a little stale with some of the more tenured players. And maybe it's because you keep doing the same things, and maybe they see that, you know, we need to try something different to have an impact or something. I don't know. It doesn't look like they're not unified, though. It doesn't look like they're quarreling internally, which I think that's a huge plus. So maybe it's just me as a fan, you know, being a little more frustrated than actually seeing anything. But it's it's a tough one. I mean, they do speak so highly of him that I would be a little surprised if there was, you know, something going on there that they just weren't backing their manager.
I don't think he's lost the locker room. I think, like, and as far as what do you say to the players after a loss like this, it's kind of like the players know that they fucked up. Like, you almost don't really need to say much. I don't think that he's lost the locker room. Every time a player talks about Inzaghi, it's usually with high praise. Performances like this, or, you know, results like this, will happen at some point during a season. I think Inzaghi's deficiencies are not necessarily as far as getting the players up and going. It's more so finding the solutions. But this team has been through a lot with Inzaghi. They've suffered heartbreak. They've had immense highs. So, you know, as far as what you say to the team, I think these players know. They know exactly what happened and what the deal is. All right, let's get into these voice notes. This is gonna.
Did you listen to all of them?
No. Did you?
I listened to So FN11 had sent two.
Yeah, I saw that. Play this one. I see the one that he wants.
Only play the second one. Don't play the first one.
Okay.
And then Artwine sent one
this morning.
And I think he wasn't able to say his name. I don't remember.
Okay. All right, we're going to start with Huyan. This is about a minute 23. I'm a little nervous. We haven't listened to this.
23. I didn't listen to that one.
Let's see.
What's up, boys? It's Huyan. First, thank you for taking my audio or voicemail, whatever it was the first time. Johnny, I'll take your apology. But nah, let's get to the serious fact. First of all, this was a sluggy game, but this guy right here, Aslani, bro, he gotta go. I'm sorry, bro. I'm tired of seeing him, bro. It looks like a 15-year-old playing with men, bro. He needs to be out of the team. He needs to be moved on, bro. Anybody that has any hopes for him, I'm tired of Zaggy talking about, oh, he's doing his best. I don't know. We don't need that, bro. If we go into the lineup, God forbid Hakan gets hurt, and we have Aslani playing back there, bro, we're not getting far, bro. We're not getting far. Like, and I know it's too late right now to make any transfers, but we need to do something else. If you're going to put Barella there, if you want to put Mickey, if you want to put Zelinski, whatever, this kid can't start, bro. He's messing everything up. The tempo's right there. He's physically not strong enough. And his shooting, bro, his shooting's probably the worst shooting I've ever seen, man. This man's dying. Like, he ain't even getting on target. He's been doing that since he's been here. And then why is he always over the ball? Bro, get moved. Let DeMarco, let Barella, anybody else besides you take it, bro. Seriously, man, I'm tired of this guy. I'm tired of people twerking for him. Literally, it's over, bro. This experiment is done. Like, let's close it up. It is what it is. If you want to start him against Coma or all these guys, I don't care. But when it comes to Champions League nights, bro, like, in big matches, I don't want to see this kid, bro. Seriously.
All facts.
I mean, straight facts. Like, I mean, Huyan, I don't think I've ever heard a more coherent and respectful answer in my life from you. I don't know if it's because you want to be on the podcast so badly because you keep hounding me about it that now you're trying to be serious, which if that's how you're going to talk with us, I'm all for it, dude. I don't need those crazy conspiracy theories of yours or those analogies that don't make sense. But that was a perfectly delivered voice note or voicemail, whatever. I agreed. I don't think I've ever agreed with you so much in my life. But yeah, like, bro, this guy needs to be. I will help pack his bags myself and get him moving to Empoli, Torino. I mean, preferably Torino, so that means we can get Ricci. But yeah, this everyone's like, oh, he needs more time. The guy's had 3 years. 3 years. Imagine, I forgot who said it, but one of my boys said this. Imagine a doctor, right? He's doing open heart surgery. He kills a patient. A few months later, he kills another patient. A few months later, he kills another patient. A few months later, he hasn't, you know, he does an okay job. The guy survives. But then after that, he kills another patient. Do you think a doctor is going to get 3 years to figure his shit out before he gets his license taken away?
Aslani joins... If we are a serious club, Aslani joins Fratesi, Arnautovic, Correa, and Acerbi on their way out the door this summer. If we're a serious club.
Do you think we're a serious club? In the moves that we could or should make, do you think that we would be right now a serious club?
Okay. I love the Sučić signing. If that's like an expectation of how things are gonna go, they're never gonna do another Arnautovic signing again with Oaktree in the door. So, you know,
which that doesn't make me feel any better because it's because of their stance on youth. It's not because that they don't rate Arnautovic. It's because they just want young players that they can make profits off of. That's it.
Yeah. I mean, they need to sell the team, but
they're not gonna until we get a new stadium.
There's a core of players that are under contract with us for a while, like DiMarco, Bastoni, Barella, and Lautaro, that you need to surround with other competitive players. So yeah.
I don't know. We'll see. Let's head to the next one. Otlo Mogatle.
Otlo here from Johannesburg, South Africa. Key takeaway, 3 points, 3 points, 3 points. Another Lautaro goal as well, which is really, really good.
Oh, this might be an
old one. That might have been one of the old ones. Yeah, yeah, yeah. My bad. That's on me, dude, for not playing it after the Lecce game. So.
Oh, wait. I don't know when, because it says it came in on February 6th. That was yesterday.
Oh.
Let's see.
Hmm.
Let's see. Technical difficulties. Hold on. Let's see.
Time and I'm going to pass all before the Seattle game, so for the two World Cup, so I'll be in the last of the game. So, respect to this game, I was saying the rules that might cost us the season. Jerry got over me and was like, no, I think I didn't say it will be the season is all. Everyone understands that he might be over the league. It just forces you to win Napoli and it's perfect until that game. That involves winning the Fiorentina on Monday and just forces you to that. He's also.
All right, that was Ronald. I think he did make a pretty good point as far as you know, you have to be pretty perfect. I don't think having more pressure on your shoulders means that the season is over. I mean, you know, it's just more pressure on your shoulders. You need to be pretty perfect, and you need to hope from a slip up from your rival. You don't even need to hope for a slip up from a rival. You need to win that head to head match, and you need to win all your matches. So yeah, that's a ton of pressure. It's probably unrealistic, but I also think it's unrealistic that Napoli rattles off 15 straight. So yeah, let's see how things play out.
But yeah, real quick, Ronald, I'm doing another giveaway. So. Be ready.
Anthony Canosa.
Too much squad rotation on a very big game like today. This game is all on Inzaghi and the players he put out there.
Yeah, Inzaghi takes significant blame for me. The players definitely also take a significant portion of the blame.
Can I just say that that was the most Dwight Schrute answer in the sense that it was just so straight to the point, no fluff, no nothing. Like, he was just too much rotation, blaming the Inzaghi. And I'm like, yeah.
Very efficient.
Right. Very efficient.
Mean, if Inter was that efficient, we probably wouldn't have lost the game.
Ooh! Tell him, Fred.
Hey, boys. Hope you're doing well. Disappointing performance. We were thoroughly outclassed from the beginning to the end. We need to keep having this conversation about Inzaghi's substitutions until something changes, because it's honestly embarrassing. When all four forwards were on the field at the same time and we weren't able to create anything, well, it was very disappointing. My question is this season just completely... Is this season just a complete throwaway at this point? Because if we're losing 3-0 to Fiorentina, how are we expected to progress in the Champions League, where we might have to face Liverpool, Real Madrid, players with world-class players? And we can't even beat Fiorentina. So Champions League, I don't see much hope in us going far in the Champions League. And then with the Coppa Italia, if we beat Lazio, we have to go against Milan, who has spanked us 3 out of the 4 times we've played them. And I don't know. At the way we're playing right now, I do not see us winning that game. So what do you guys think? Is the season just completely thrown away, or is there anything we can salvage from it? I appreciate all the good work you guys do. Keep it up and Forza Inter.
IMFN11, thank you for the voicemail. I gotta just address something very quickly. One of the arguments that in football that bothers me the most is, well, if we can't beat this team, how are we supposed to, you know, beat the other team, whatever. In football, these games, it very rarely transfers from game to game. It's not like, oh, you lose to Fiorentina. It's a very specific situation. It's how these teams match up. If you want to say, you know, worried about Milan based off of how they've played us, I can understand that, because you've seen that matchup over and over again, and you see how, you know, they address how they can beat us, and they're pretty effective at it. I understand stuff like that. But to say, like, oh, if you lose to Fiorentina, how can you be expected to beat Liverpool or Real Madrid? Like, it doesn't translate like that. It doesn't translate. And every game is unique. Every game is different. Napoli's lost 3-0 to Verona to start the season. Like, if they can't beat Verona at home, wasn't it at home? Like, if they can't beat Verona, then how can they expect it to mount a title challenge? It's about timing. Matchups make fights, as they say in the boxing and UFC world. I don't believe in stuff like that. I believe you can have a bad game against Fiorentina and then still show up and beat a Real Madrid, for example. You know, different game, different day, different strategy, different everything. So, yeah, that's my take on that.
Yeah, no, I don't think that this season's a throwaway or that we should punt it by any means. I still feel pretty good about our chances in the league. I don't think that any team is unbeatable in Europe. Real Madrid don't scare me. I mean, they got smoked by Barcelona. You know, they lost to who did they lose to just the other day?
They have nobody in defense, by the way. I don't know if people are paying attention to Real Madrid and paying attention to European rivals and so forth, but they don't have any defenders. No one.
And like I said, they just lost to somebody else just the other day that they probably shouldn't have lost to. So like, does that mean that now, you know, Real Madrid is done, that they're cooked? You know, I don't know. I feel confident in what we're able to do. And I think, you know, I think the only team that has really truly impressed me all season that I think would be a tough opponent would be Liverpool. But that doesn't mean that they're unbeatable. I think that they would just be our toughest challenge. You know,
I think Liverpool and Atletico are two.
Nah, they don't scare me. They don't Atletico? Scare me. No, they do. I'm kidding.
They definitely do.
Atletico, yeah. Julian Alvarez, who should be at Inter, has looked unbelievable.
Simeone's son can't stop scoring. The other one, Giuliano.
Yeah, the one who's actually good. Go ahead.
I was gonna say this one's from Anonymous.
Yeah, tough loss. Really not much to say other than, you know, poor performance from mainly the second half onwards. Yeah, really subs came maybe a bit too late, but even then, you know, Fiorentina just had our number tactically and strategically. And yeah, really tough to see Fratesi's inability to link up play. Çalhanoğlu still, you know, obviously not back at, you know, full match fitness and probably match sharpness as well. That might take another week or so. Yeah, but, you know, all is not lost. And I think Inter still do well to realize that all is not lost. Bad performance, some bad metrics exposed as well by Fiorentina, but all is not lost. Revenge game on Monday. And yeah, we just need to keep plugging and chugging along and take this title race to the last couple of days. Forza Inter. Thanks, guys.
Bye. Is that Stefan Rossi?
No, no. How dare you disrespect Stefan for that? That was not an Australian accent.
What was it? South African?
I don't know. But it wasn't Australian. And it wasn't Stefan. I know Stefan's voice.
He did make a good point about Hakan. Like, he needs to... I don't think you can give it more than two games of being like, okay, you've had your two stinkers, you know, now it's time to pick it up. He's got to have a performance against Fiorentina next time through, and he's got to be motivated.
100% agree.
Yeah, dreadful.
Thank you for the message, David. FC Positivity, recruiting new members. Welcome to the club.
I think it's just you. I think it's just you two left at this point, though.
I just want to fight. I just want to believe in something, man. I just want to believe in something. But yeah, he's not wrong about when we are on. We're obviously one of the best teams in the world. We've just been off. All right, last one. Intertwined.
Hey guys, Intertwined here. I'm recording this on Friday morning, so not even sure if this is gonna make it to the pod. I did accidentally send one voice note earlier, which I'm hoping you'll be able to delete. Anyway, so what I was gonna say was I'm just gonna choose to be a little bit more positive now. I'm sure the most of the pod was probably a bunch of negativity from the fans' perspective, and rightfully so. We were horrible yesterday. I'm not going to run away from that. Players were horrible. Inzaghi did not do a good job of managing the game. But I, you know what? I'm going to choose to be optimistic. I am going to trust the coach that has gotten us here, that has gotten us four trophies, that has led us to a season where we just got our second loss yesterday. And I'm going to trust him to figure this out. He does need to rotate better. He needs to choose the right players for the right games. And we have to overcome this mentally. It was 7 games in 21 days, and that's not an excuse, but that's tough for any team. And for the Milan fans and the Juve fans and whoever's making fun of us, yeah, that's, you haven't had to do that. So, yeah, I'm going to remain optimistic. Forza Inter.
Let's go. Forza Inter. All the negative Nancys in the mud on the interviews.
I think you've infected our fan base. It's just ridiculous the effect you're having on this fan base.
Oh, man.
I will not stand for it.
Like I said, I just want to believe in something. I just want to believe in something. I want to afford a little bit of grace to the team that won the second star, that they're hopefully going to turn things around. I think it's a good note to end the pod on, right?
I guess.
We don't feel good. We don't feel good. But let's
let's just
that brought my vibes down. No, I'm kidding.
Let's just look at it objectively. One, we're 3 points behind in the league with 15 games left. That shouldn't rule out anyone in any competition whatsoever. This team has played beautiful football. We know they're capable of doing it. They just need to get their heads on right. And I think one of the bigger positives is that you have the opportunity for direct revenge immediately at the San Siro, at home, where you can, like I said, throw away the tape, just bury this team. So let's do it. Johnny, you're opening up some cards over there. What are you doing?
Dude, I'm organizing everything for the giveaways.
So what do we got to tell?
I don't know which group of cards I want to give away first. That's what I'm struggling with. That's what I'm struggling with right now. So I can't show you because then everybody will see what I want to give away. But all right, hold on. I'll do that'll be one group. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. That'll be group 2. 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, there's 3 group. All right. I'm going to leave it up to Alessandro. What group of cards gets given away? Group 1, 2, or 3?
1, 2, or 3.
Yeah.
Given my hope that Inter finishes first in the league, I'm going to go with 1.
Group 1. All right. So, I got to change one of these cards because somebody might get upset. It would have been 2 of the same player in that, and I'm sure they didn't want that. All right, so it's going to be a numbered to 175, Tajon Buchanan. I know he's not in the highest regard, but a Marcus Thuram numbered to 299. It's a Prism Refractor. A Refractor, Hakan Çalhanoğlu. It says Say Cheese. It's from one of the Champions League games. A fully charged Lautaro Martinez. And numbered to 99, Nicolò Barella. So
that's a hell of a pack right there.
We'll do that giveaway. I think group 2 would have been fun for somebody, maybe. I won't give away who's in group 2. I'll tell Alessandro. Dumfries
is definitely in there.
He's not. Actually, I bought a Dumfries. Huyan, for me, I bought myself a Dumfries numbered to 50. And it's now in the collection permanently. So I bought your boy. Anyway.
All right. That'll be exciting.
We'll do the giveaway.
Giveaway coming up soon. Okay. Good hour and a half in. I think we touched on it all. We didn't touch on the game much, but I think we touched on what Interisti wanted to talk about. So
100%.
We're out. In the words of the great Roberto Scarpini, Forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi, forza ragazzi.